How do you invest in a bear stock market? How do you invest when the market seems to be going down, down, and down? This is an extremely important question for any index investor and for any investor in general, of course. And today, this is a very relevant question because the US stock market has gone down by 20% since the beginning of the year and the global stock market by about 10%. Following COVID, and now with the war in Ukraine, the world economy has slowed down. Inflation is breaking records, and there are talks of an upcoming recession in a lot of news media. And while falling stock market prices is a great opportunity for index investors like us, it's still hard to handle the uncertainty. It's hard to invest when the overall expectations are that the markets are going to continue to go down. And it's especially hard for beginner investors, like the students who have taken my course and started investing only a few months ago, to help them manage their emotions and overcome those uncertainties. In addition to the course and the monthly Q&A sessions that we normally have, I have decided to invite one of the best experts in the world to talk to us about this. And this person is Rick Ferry. Rick Ferry is the president of the John C. Bogle Center for Financial Literacy and the host of the Bogleheads on Investing podcast. He has 35 years of experience as a financial advisor, including 25 during which he's been promoting index investing. So he's a pioneer of low-cost investing via index mutual funds and ETFs and low-fee investment advice and portfolio management. He's the author of 7 investment books, including one of my favorites, all about asset allocation, and hundreds of articles published in Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, and lots of professional journals. Rick Ferry has helped thousands of index investors navigate uncertain times like the one that we are going through right now. So I was extremely happy when he accepted my invitation to join us at this live event, despite being on holiday. So Rick Ferry, if you are listening to this right now, I would like to thank you again on behalf of the community. The conversation was really insightful and it had a deep impact on the audience. Most of the fears and uncertainty that the attendees had before the event were dissipated by the no-nonsense and the very clear approach of Rick. All of us left the event with a reinforced mindset that will help us go through these uncertain times. So the conversation was really powerful for the attendees. It was so good that I decided to take it, edit it, and make it to this podcast episode so that you too can benefit from it. All right, let's go. Hi, my name is Sebastian Aguilar, and welcome back to the Fire Belgium Show, a video podcast that's here to help you take control of your finances, invest better, so that you can live more and give more. I have been investing in the stock market for 10 years now, almost, and I've been helping people start investing through index funds and index ETF for the past 7 years. First in the Middle East with Simplify, and now in Belgium with Fire Belgium. Over the past few years, I have developed a very comprehensive program to help complete beginners learn about index investing, acquire the knowledge, make their own decisions, and start investing in a very simple and effective way. The program is a step-by-step approach to understand index investing and put it into practice in your own life. It covers everything from selecting the correct asset allocation for your personal situation to identifying the very best ETFs and understanding taxes and optimizing for taxes and costs, all the way to the practical implementation through your broker, how to make a transaction, all of that in a very simple step-by-step approach. If you want to know more about index investing and how to get started, then I invite you to watch the free workshop I have on the Fire Belgium website. I'm also going to put the link in the show notes and the description for this video podcast episode. In the program, I use one of the frameworks developed by Rick Ferry in his book, All About Asset Allocation. This framework helps people identify the correct asset allocation based on their personal situation, their personal appetite to risk, the stage they are in their own journey as index investors, so that they can invest effectively with index funds for the long term. Having an appropriate asset allocation for your personal situation is an essential tool. It's a very important tool to help us manage our emotions during difficult times, like, for example, a bear market. Another important tool that we can use is to reinforce our long-term investing mindset. And Rick Ferry is also one of the very best people to help us do that. That's why I decided to invite him to join our live event with the students of my course, because some of them have seen their portfolio go down by 5, 10, 15% over the past few months. And he is really one of the best person we can talk to. Okay, let's now dive into the conversation with Rick Ferry. When he joined us on the call, I first asked him to tell us a little bit about how he got into index investing. Tell us a bit about his story. So we start with that.
Well, so I'll start about almost 25 years ago when I had been in the investment industry as a, we call them stockbrokers here in the US, but I'd been in the industry for probably 6 or 7 years and not having much success in choosing investments for my clients that would outperform the markets. And I had my financial analyst designation. I had did a lot of work studying active management, stock picking, trying to find managers that would outperform the markets. And it just wasn't working. It was very difficult to find managers who would outperform in the future. I mean, it was easy to find managers who would outperform in the past, but could they outperform in the future? And it was a random event. Very difficult thing to do. And was listening to a speech by a fellow by the name of John Bogle, who was the founder of Vanguard, the Vanguard group of mutual funds here in the US. And he was showing a lot of data on how their index funds were outperforming most active managers. I was aware of the data, but I just didn't sink in very right away. And for a lot of people, the indexing doesn't sink in right away. Everybody believes that you're supposed to outperform because that's what's being sold out there by the banks and where you are and by the mutual fund companies and the brokers where we are. So, but it did, it made too much sense because what John Bogle was saying, it was exactly what I was seeing in my client accounts and exactly what I was experiencing in the industry. And so I felt that I wasn't alone. I read his book, Bogle on Mutual Funds, and became convinced in 1996 that this was the way to do it. This indexing was an evolution in the investment industry. It allowed us for a very, very low fee to capture the returns of all the best companies all around the world. And up until this time, you'd had to have millions of dollars to be able to afford to do this type of investing. But index funds came along again as an evolution in the fund industry and now allowed anyone to capture the returns of the markets. And if you look at the data of the returns of the markets and you say, well, if I got that return, that's probably good enough. I don't need to outperform the markets. Low chance that I'll do it. I'll pay a lot more money to do it. But if I get just the returns of the markets, then I'll reach my personal financial objective. So I shifted my whole thinking 25 years ago to index fund investing, and not only in stocks, but in bonds also. Fixed income. And he never looked back. And it's been a great run. And there's no reason to think that the next 25 years will be any different than the past 25 years relative to trying to outperform the markets. So you have to look at it that way. The probability of outperforming the markets is very low. It's always more expensive and usually higher taxes as well because you have turnover. Or you could just accept the returns of the markets, which are good returns. I mean, the active managers, 90% of their return is just the market anyway. And there's only a small portion of active management that is actually alpha or under. The variation of return of active management over the long term is very, gets very tight. So it's, you know, you're going to get mostly market returns anyway from active management, but it will be lower because the fees are higher. Pretty simple formula. Market minus fees equals the return of active management. So if I can cut out the fees and just get the market, I'll do better than most of the active managers. And then, which means I'll do better than most investors out there. So I started doing this. And again, that mathematical formula for return is going to be the same 25 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, as it is right now. So over the long term, we as individual investors are better off getting the return of the market, keeping fees very low, and we'll have more money. And we don't have to do anything. We're free riders on the system, if you will. We don't have to do anything. We just buy diversified portfolio of index funds that are widely diversified and hold them. And we'll come out further ahead over our lifetime than doing all this other stuff. It is just, it makes it so much easier. Now, of course, the people who sell investment products, they hate this. I mean, it's not that they don't like it. They hate it. They hate it because it really puts them at risk of becoming obsolete. And here in the US, more than 50% of the money in mutual funds right now is in index funds. There's been a huge shift over that 25-year period of time. When I first started doing it, I think 3% of mutual fund money was in index funds. Now it's over 50%.
A quick note here. Rick later clarified that it's 50% of mutual funds and ETF money in the US that is in index funds, right? And that mutual funds and ETF in the US are about 25% of the US stock market. So overall, here we're talking about 12.5% of money being in index funds for the US stock market. And for the rest of the world, that is much, much smaller. The proportion of index investing compared to active investing is much smaller. So if you're worried about index investing taking over the stock market, we're nowhere near that at all. So that's not even a concern. I just wanted to clarify that because he explained it later, but we are not including that part in this episode. Anyway, let's continue with what Rick was saying.
When I first started doing it, I think 3% of mutual fund money was in index funds. Now it's over 50%. And I think it's just going to continue to climb because it's proven to be effective because of that formula of the market minus fees gives you your return. And if you can keep your fees very low and you get a diversified portfolio of index funds in your portfolio, you'll do better than most people who are not doing that. So that's the concept. It's really very simple, very simple. And sometimes the simplest things in life are hard to grasp, but there's an evolution to the thinking of an investor where they get to this point. And I call it the education of an index investor. But once you get there, you say, well, why am I doing anything else? Why would I do anything else? And that's why I think why you're all perhaps in the room today.
So yes, that's why we were in the room on that day on the call with Rick Ferry. Indeed, index investing is very simple. It's very simple, but yet it's really not very popular in Belgium, for example, in many other countries. And so my next question to Rick was, like, where is it going to go, right? Basically, in Belgium, banks have the control over where people put their money because they're the ones giving access to funds, and they're not offering index funds. They're not offering ETFs. ETFs, as per a report from Morningstar, are almost not made available to people in Belgium, to people who are saving and investing in Belgium. You really have to go and find them yourself through a broker that is normally, you know, designed for active investors and stock pickers. And so we really have to go out of our way to invest in index funds. And even going out of our way, it is super simple and extremely effective. So yeah, banks control the investments industry in Belgium. And obviously that limits the access to ETFs, despite index investing and index ETFs being the very best thing for the investor. They're not made available. They're not promoted. Obviously there's no money into that. So here's what Rick Ferry then replied.
But it's not unusual. I mean, even to the north of us here in the US and Canada, they're way behind because the banks control a lot of the investments. And so that they're going to quash the ability for ETFs or indexing to expand. But it will. It will, because it, for the same reason it did in this country, it's a demand-driven phenomenon. I mean, people find out, like you find out, you learn. You said most people have been doing this for about 6 months. You learn, you go that direction, you're not going to go back to paying high fees. I mean, you won't. You might put a little bit of money in a fund that you think you take a shot on, fine, you know, some fund money or something. But most of your long-term investment money, now that you've converted to indexing, you've had your aha moments, you've had your epiphany, you are going to not go back. And there'll just be more and more of this in your country and all over the world as people gain access to these products, either through ETFs or use mutual funds or whatever, however they can do it. They gain access to these low-cost products. They begin to see what they really are. They begin to see the advantages of this, and they don't go back. It just grows. It realized the first index fund was created by Vanguard 46 years ago, 46. But it's only been in the last 25 years, even the last 20 years, that they've really begun to grow. Recall that 3% of the mutual fund market was indexed when I discovered it. And that's probably close to where you are, right? Something like that, maybe even less. But over a 25-year period of time, it'll grow, and it'll grow by word of mouth. It's not going to grow by the banks. The banks are going to do all they can to quash it. It'll grow by word of mouth. It'll grow because of you and you telling people on and over and over and over again. You continue to talk about the message. And it's frustrating. I mean, you tell people 50 times about index funds, they're still not going to do it. But on the 100th time, the 100th time that they hear about it, then they'll look into it. And that's how people convert. They don't convert. You tell people 100 times. I tell you, you have to have 100 touches. At the 100 touches. So they have to hear it from someone. They have to hear it again. They have to hear it again and hear it again and hear it again. It doesn't register. But you keep on talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. After about 100 times, people will say, oh, I've got to look into this index fund thing. This, you know, you catch them at the right time. They're thinking about investing. They're not doing well. Their investments are not doing well. They start looking into why they're not doing well. I mean, that one time where they hear the word indexing out of 100 times that they've heard it, but they really didn't register, that one time when they hear it, where they're just in that frame of mind, they actually then say, well, I got to find out about this. Let me look into this. And then they do. And it doesn't take much if you really concentrate on on this idea of lower fees equals higher returns, and you know, broad diversification of being in the market rather than trying to pick stocks, which clearly is not working. For people to say, ah, you know, I get that. I see that. Maybe I should start doing that. And they do, but it takes a long, long time for people to make the conversion, unless you're very lucky, unless you happen to, the very first time you're going to invest, you happen to ask somebody, hey, how should I invest my money? I don't know anything about it. And they say, put it in index funds. If you happen to be lucky and you just do it, you put it in the index fund because somebody told you to, and you never change, that does happen. And those people are very fortunate that that happens to them. But most of us are not that fortunate. Most of us have to go through a lot of turmoil with our investment portfolio before we figure out, you know, about index funds and how they can be helpful to us. But it'll grow. It'll grow. It'll continue to grow worldwide. It'll grow in your country. You know, 25 years from now, it'll be commonplace.
And so that's the goal. So yes, it's going to continue to grow. And I'm pretty convinced of that myself too, right? In the end, index investing delivers so much value for the investors that eventually it will become the way a lot of people start investing because it's common sense. It's super effective. Once it's set up, it doesn't take more than 5 minutes a month even to maintain, right? All you have to do is transfer the money into your brokerage account and make the transaction buying the ETF, one or two ETFs that you need, and that's it. It's very powerful, and it's great to get someone like V. Ferry to remind us of that again, and you know, really to give us even more confidence that this is the right way. I think it's very important, especially for the people who are at the beginning of their journey, like the people in my course who started investing in the past few months. Now, the past few months have been challenging, and especially if you don't have experience as an investor and you haven't been, you know, involved in this community for a long time, it's hard to see what's happening in the past few months as something positive because it's going down. And when you put your money in the market and it loses value, it's not easy from an emotional perspective. So I asked him what was his advice for people who were experiencing this market drop for the first time and maybe struggling with it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, right? I mean, it's wonderful for you. You want the market to go down. If you're young, you know, if you're not planning on retiring for until you're in your 60s, perhaps, this is the best thing in the world for you that the markets go down because you can just buy more at lower prices. You know, you would want the stock market to go down 20, 30, 40% more. That would be ideal for you. It'd be great for you. You don't want it to go up in value and have high valuations. You want it to come down, especially if you don't have that much money invested in it and you're putting more money in every month or every quarter or whenever you do. You know, life is a dollar cost average. You earn more, you invest more. You earn more, you invest more. The best thing that could happen to you if you're in your 20s or 30s or even your 40s, the best thing that could happen is for 20 years, we're in a bear market. Bad market, bad stuff, bad bond market. Best thing that could happen because you can buy, and then when you're getting closer to retirement, say in your 60s, then the market, you know, recovers, goes up, and you have made a lot of money. It's a market's a funny thing. It's the only thing that out there that people want to buy more of, the more expensive it gets. But it's not what you should want. This is a good thing. Now, I'm 64. So from my generation, it's, well, you know, we've saved all this money for retirement. And now the markets have come down. But let's talk about that for a minute. Two years ago, the markets were lower than they are now. Okay, they were. If you had a 60-40 portfolio 2 years ago, the markets were lower than they are now. Okay, it's only been 2 years. You know, to think that you're going to make money every single year or every 2 years, you're not. Doesn't matter what you're in, you're just not. So I always, you know, there are times you could look at the markets and go, well, interest rates are low. valuations are high, and there's probably going to be a correction along the way. And if you're getting closer to retirement, then you could take some money out of the market and put it away into something safer, where you would use that money in the first few years of which you reach, you know, in retirement. So you don't have that risk with that money that you're going to need. But if you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s, you don't have to do that.
So for people in their accumulation phase, yeah, this is obviously an amazing opportunity. But what about the people who are at the later stage on the investment journey? People who are maybe 5 or 10 years away from their retirement. How can they manage the situation and better prepare for their retirement? That was the next thing I asked Vic Ferry.
Well, if you're closer to retirement, then you're going to want to have some money in short-term bonds. So the first few years you're in retirement, you don't have to worry. You want to match your portfolio to where you are in life. And when are you going to need this money? That's really the bottom line. When are you going to need this money? And how much of it are you going to need when you need it? Okay. That's really the basic question. If you're going to need the money, say in 2 years, you're going to start to need money from the portfolio. Well, how much money do you need from the portfolio? If it's only a small amount, the portfolio is going to deliver dividends and interest. Every year, portfolio will provide, say, 2.5%, maybe 3% in dividends and interest, cash flow, cash coming off the portfolio. How much do you need? If all you need is 2.5 or 3% to live off of, that doesn't change very much, by the way. I mean, the markets will go up and down a lot, but the cash flows that come off of the investments are much less volatile than the price of the securities. So you say, well, I don't need this money for 5 years. I have €1 million. But right, you got €1 million. I only need 30,000. I only need €30,000 a year to live on. And I have €1 million. And I know the cash flow coming off of that would be about 3%. That's my $30,000. You just live off the cash flow.
Another quick note here. It's a bit technical, but it's quite important to clarify. So here we go. In the US, funds are required to distribute at least 90% of the dividends to their shareholders. In Belgium, that is not the case. And given the tax on dividend distribution, 30%, and the absence of a tax on stock fund capital gains, it makes much more sense to invest in accumulating ETFs here, which by definition do not distribute the dividend, but instead reinvest them in the fund so that it can continue grow and basically benefit from compound interest even better. The popular stock ETFs in Belgium, like IWDA or VWCE, usually have a dividend yield that varies between 1.5 to 2.5%. So if you want to use the approach that Rick is describing now in Belgium, then you could consider selling 1.5 to 2.5% of those ETFs every year. And that would lead to something similar to not touching the principal. Now, I personally prefer looking at the total average returns over the very long term to determine how much I can withdraw from my portfolio, which leads to usually a safe withdrawal rate of between 3 and 4%. But if you want to take the dividend approach, the number would be closer to 2%. That's all for this quick note. I hope I'm not confusing anyone. I'm trying to clarify because it's a bit different in the US compared to Belgium. Let's continue.
Now, if you feel like you want to even be more secure than that, then between now and the time you retire, you put money away into, instead of going into a longer term portfolio, it just goes into a short term fixed income account. It may not make as much, but you develop a cushion, cash cushion of short-term money, and you live off that for a while.
Okay, so for people closer to retirement, Rick's advice is to get short-term bonds, build a cash cushion, and consider looking at dividend distributions for the cash flow. I quite like this combination because it's similar to the bucket strategy that I usually recommend to people who are planning for retirement using index ETFs. My next question also comes from the students who were attending the event. And so I asked Rick how he thinks people should handle the current uncertainty, especially for those who are looking to invest, but are trying to find the right time to invest, who are trying to make the perfect timing and hopefully buy at the bottom potentially, right? His response was amazing. Here we go.
Yeah, you're never, perfection is a curse. It's a curse. You cannot perfect this. This is impossible. You will, what we call, you will come to analysis paralysis. You'll paralysis by analysis. You will not get it done. This is much simpler than what it seems. It is. And it's almost overly simple in a way. You believe that it's much harder than it is. It is not. It's very simple math. Very simple math. And almost too simple to where people are looking for perfection. And that's what trips them up. Looking for perfection trips. You don't have to be perfect here. You don't. Hey, if you want to have a 50-50 portfolio, that's fine. If you want to have a 70-30 portfolio, that's fine. If you want to have an 80% stock, 20% bond portfolio, that's fine. If you want to build a nest egg so that you have 5 years of living expenses, that's fine. What is important is whatever plan you come up with, you implement it and you do it. You stick with it. You don't change it. If you're constantly trying to find perfection, constantly tinkering with it and changing this and changing that and changing this and changing that, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess everything up. You can't. It has to be a simple plan that you can get fully implemented and then easy to maintain, low cost, low tax. It'll work. It will work. The best plans, the best investors I've ever met are the ones who came up with the plan, implemented the plan, and didn't mess with the plan. They left it alone and they did great. They did great. And I don't think things are going to change. I know that the more you tinker with this stuff, trying to find perfection, the more you say, well, the market is this or the market is that, or maybe I should wait for interest rates to do this, or maybe I should wait for stocks to do that, or whatever. You're just hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself by trying to do that. It is much simpler than that. It's much simpler. I just can't overemphasize that enough.
Perfection is a curse. Build a simple plan, implement the plan, and stick to the plan. That's it. It's such a clear message. It's amazing. My next question for Rick was about bonds. In the first 6 months of 2022, they also went down. Stocks went down, bonds went down. And the usual expectation is that bonds will not behave in the same way as stocks. So when stocks go down, we expect bonds to hold or go up. So that's something that's been bothering a few people in the course. And despite it being explained, I think it was important that we ask Rick to get his view on this. And his answer was also great.
Well, bonds are a self-righting asset class. They will come back because the bonds in those portfolios will mature. There'll be more, that money will be rolled out into higher yielding. There's a mathematical formula called duration, where if you bought bonds that have a six-year duration, then in the interest rate you purchased them at was say 1.5%, then over a six-year period of time, you're going to get 1.5%. So it's a self-righting asset class. You see this dip, but then they'll come back. And just because of the interest rate alone and because the bonds get shorter and shorter in maturity and eventually mature, and then that money is rolled out into more bonds. It's a self-righting asset class. You can't lose money in bonds unless you sell. If you sell, you can lose money. But if you don't sell, if you just hold on to them and you let them mature, you can't lose money in them, unless you're buying junk bonds and they default. But investment grade bonds will be fine. You can't have 100% stocks. Most people cannot handle the volatility, because at some point bonds are going to stabilize. The central bankers are continuing to raise interest rates, and the short-term interest rates. But at some point, the interest rate yield curve is going to be very flat. And if we do go into a recession, particularly perhaps Europe goes into a recession, then you're going to have interest rates start coming down again, and the value of the bonds will start to come up. Again, you have to wait it out, but you need bonds in a portfolio because they are not stock, right? I'll say that again. You need bonds in a portfolio because they are not stock. What's the problem with having all stock? Well, there are times when the stock market has been down 40, 50, 60%. And how are you going to feel about that? Okay. And the answer is not good. Not good. And are you going to sell your stock if over a year or two or three stocks continue to go down, 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 and you continue to lose money? And remember what I told you before, this is the most wonderful thing in the world if you're accumulating money. This is fantastic news if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and possibly early 50s as well. It would be buy as they go down, down, down. This is the best thing. But emotionally, people cannot do that. They just see the trend. If things have gone down, all they can see is them going down more. I never used the phrase, the market is going down, or the market is going up, because I don't know where it's going. I only know where it has been, and I know where it is. No one knows where it's going. Now, there's a lot of people who will say they know where it's going, but they don't know where it's going. They don't. We can't assume that this period in time, our predictions about interest rates are going to be correct, or that a prediction about stocks are going to be correct. We just do not have the luxury of knowing what the future is. You know, what will be, will be. I mean, I don't know. So I can't say you should wait to buy stocks. You should wait to buy bonds. I know that stocks can go down a lot. And if you're not going to be able to handle that, if you can't handle losing 50% of your money or 60% of your money, and you're going to panic and sell, then you shouldn't have a lot of money in stock. You shouldn't have 80% or 90% in stock, because you'll end up hurting yourself. You're emotionally hurt yourself because you sold. That's the reason. If you don't sell, you won't get hurt. Don't sell. Don't sell. Okay. Don't sell. All right. Just keep buying. And you know, you do a rebalance. If it's 60, 40, 50, 50, 70, whatever it is, whatever your asset allocation is, follow it. Follow it. Just follow it. It will guide you through the rough waters. Like Jack Bogle says, stay the course. You have a plan. You have you've implemented your plan. Stay the course. Stay the course. If you don't, now you're in trouble. Now it starts to be, you know, one of these things. You don't know where to go. Once you get off course, you're in trouble. You got to come up with a plan, implement the plan, stay the course, and you will be fine. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Long, many, 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 many years here, many years, even if you're 50. Hopefully you're going to live another 40 years, 50 years perhaps. It's a long way, long time. You know, we're not even going to remember this conversation 5 years from now. Not going to remember it. Because, you know, remember I told you about that first year in retirement where people are really scared about going from accumulation to living off their money? After that first year, and they're fine. They don't remember anything about ever doubting it prior. Okay. They never remember all the doubts they had prior to retiring. You know, the person who had 20 million euro, who only needed 100,000, they retire. Next year, things are going great. How's everything going? Oh, everything's great. I said, well, you remember last year when, you know, you were really unsure about things. No, I don't remember that. I don't remember. That's what happens, okay? So you got to get through this. You create a plan, implement the plan, stay the course, no matter what.
Who has a plan? Let me ask you. Everybody has a plan, Rick.
All right, that's number one. Number two, is it implemented?
Is it implemented? Raise your hand. Is it implemented? 90% yes.
Okay, well, now, then all you have to do is keep it. Just keep it. Stay the course. Number three, keep it. Don't change it. Okay, this is a wonderful time. You have great opportunities here, and there's going to maybe be bigger opportunities down the road. You want to buy assets when they're cheap. They're getting cheap. Not as cheap as they were, say, in 2007 and 2008. But I mean, this is when you make your money. You make your money now by buying. And if they go down more, you buy more. If they go down more, you buy more. I just don't know how else to put it. It's just, there are three things that you need. Three. One is you have to have a philosophy of how you're going to invest. The philosophy is either I'm going to try to beat the markets and I'm going to try to time the markets and I'm going to do all of this active stuff, or I'm just going to have a passive portfolio of index funds. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to implement it and stay the course. So it's either one or the other. Either be very active or you're going to be passive. That's the philosophy. Because you're in this room, because you're listening to this lecture, you've already chosen this philosophy, hopefully. At least 90%. There's 10% yet who maybe have not, but 90%. You've chosen this one. Next thing, number two, is a strategy. Now, what is strategy? Strategy is how you put your portfolio together, how you invest, what your plan looks like. And it's going to be different than everybody else's plan because you have different income, you have different needs, you're at a different age, you have different tax base, you different family situation. Maybe you have different investment options that are available in your company, your business, retirement plan, whatever it is. Everybody is different. I'm different than everybody else. I have to come up with my plan. What is my plan? What are the funds? How much am I going to put in? When am I going to put it in? When am I going to look at it? My plan for me. All have the same philosophy. Everybody in this room has the same philosophy. No one in this room has the same strategy. No one. Everybody in this room has a different way of doing it. And that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. And you should have different variations of how you do it because we're all different. We all have different situations. So it's going to be different. So you have the same philosophy, low cost, use indexing, come up with a plan. What that plan is and what that strategy is going to be unique to you, unique to you. And then the third thing is implementing and staying the course, the discipline to take that plan and to actually do it. And maintaining this philosophy of low-cost passive indexing and not going back to the active side because you heard something from someone who said, this is great, it's gonna make you a lot of money. Let's do non-fungible tokens and, you know, Bitcoin and whatever, you know. This is, you ignore all that, you stay with the philosophy, you have your plan. Now you could tailor the plan as needed. As you get older, you might want to tailor it a little bit one way or the other, or whatever you need to do. Like I was saying before, somebody who's 50 might start building up a little bit of cash. I mean, whatever you do, you got to tailor your plan a little bit. Implement the plan, maintain the plan. That's called discipline. So the philosophy, strategy, and discipline. Those are the three things. And you'll be fine.
Thank you so much, Rick. Rick can see us. Anyone on the screen? On the screen, because there's some people hiding behind there.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Boy, it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's a big room. Everyone can see.
That's good.
Okay.
Great. Well, thank you so much for inviting me. Bye-bye.
As you've seen, I have a very long list of questions. Can I invite you next year for a podcast recording so that this could go to even more people?
Sure.
Next year.
That'll be fine.
not during the holidays, I promise.
We'll see what we'll see where we are next year, right?
Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Rick. Take care.
Thank you again. Bye now.
Bye. There you go. That was our conversation with Rick Ferry. It was an amazing experience to be able to speak to him, to be able to have him help the attendees of the event. And now I'm hoping that this is helping you as well. So wherever you are on your investing journey, whether you're a complete beginner and you're considering this as a way forward, or you're already investing, but you are maybe a bit struggling with what's going on in the market, I'm hoping you find value in this episode. I also think that this episode can help us investors at any future point in bear markets, because the principles stay the same, right? The answers that Rick has given us, the philosophy of index investing, it works for any situation, really, because it is a long-term approach based on evidence and, you know, academic research. And that year after year is proven to deliver better performance than actively managed funds. So it's really powerful and it's simple. And all we have to do is learn about it. It's not insane learning, right? Most people can learn these things, like how it works, in a few weeks, and then learn to implement, which takes a bit more time sometimes to just figure out some of the more practical aspects of index investing. But once you have it in place, it's an amazing money-making machine. It's, as we said, almost too good to be true, because it really literally takes 5 minutes a month and we get better results than the vast majority of investors. So yeah, I just can't emphasize it enough. I believe this investing approach that's super simple and effective should be available to everyone. I think it should be made available almost. It should be the default way people invest. And it should be something that is offered by bank and other financial institutions. I think it's unfair at the moment that the financial industry is not providing what is best for the investor, but providing what is best for them, which is funds that perform okay, on which you can charge a lot of money. Anyway, I'm hoping that this episode would help you. And I'm hoping that over time, my work and now you knowing about this will also help us change the industry so that more people can benefit from this. As I said earlier, if you're interested in learning more about index investing, if you're at the very beginning of your journey, I highly recommend you check my free workshop on the website and in the link in the description. Because I will just tell you exactly how to start. What are the key principles? What are the key steps? What are the different stages of your journey? What you need to know to be able to start? And then I'll invite you to join the program if you're interested. You don't have to, but if you're interested, it's there. It's been designed to help people who simply want a bit more guidance and a very clear step-by-step approach to get it done fast. Basically, that's what it is. It's a really good shortcut to get it done and avoid, you know, most beginners' mistakes. Right. That's it for the episode today. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got a lot of value from it. And please share it with other index investors or people who are considering index investing. And I hope to see you around soon. And if not, then I'll talk to you in the next episode. Cheers. Take care.